Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
High above the horizon of myth and memory, where storm clouds gather and folklore takes flight, there exists a creature spoken of in whispers and witnessed in flashes of shadow against thunderheads. Long before the term cryptid entered the modern lexicon, indigenous nations across North America told stories of colossal birds whose wings summoned thunder, whose eyes flashed with lightning, and whose presence shaped the balance between sky, earth, and spirit. But these legends don't remain confined to ancient tradition. Scattered throughout the 19th and early 20th centuries are unsettling reports from settlers, soldiers, and townsfolk. Accounts of enormous birds blotting out the sun, carrying off livestock, and leaving witnesses frozen in awe and terror. Photographs rumored to exist, newspaper clippings half forgotten, and eyewitness testimony too consistent to easily dismiss all blur the line between sacred symbol and biological anomaly. Are these mysterious avians purely mythic guardians of the sky, misunderstood metaphors etched into cultural memory? Or could they represent a surviving relic of the prehistoric past? An undiscovered giant raptor soaring just beyond the edges of accepted science. This case file joined the theorists as we scan the stormy skies of legend and lore, chasing wings of wonder and whispers of the wild feral forces of the Thunderbirds.
Theorizing or theorizing,
whatever,
both,
whatever you want it to be.
Feeds. Yeah, we're whatever you want it to be. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
Boys, it finally happened.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
I finally got scammed on Facebook Marketplace. I knew it was coming for me eventually because I'm on there wheeling and dealing all the time.
I'm buying
haunted dolls and I'm lowballing people and. So, you know, I was like, the other day, I was like, oh, it sucks in the winter out in the studio because I turned the heat right off and then I got to walk out here. And I was like, you know what? It would be cool to have a smart thermostat, something that connects with Wi-Fi. So I could be inside and be like, heat on, set. And so when I come out here, it's nice and toasty. So I can, you know, give the people what they want. They want to see my traps and my buys, right? But I can't. I got to wear a jacket. It's so cold out here. And the jowls. you know, I want to give the people, they want to see the chins.
They want to see stuff move.
I can't have the chins out. I got to be bundled up out here. So I was like, you know what? Let me look on Amazon. I want to see how much a smart thermostat is. Expensive. Sure. Well, I was like, oh, fuck.
Couple hundred.
I was like, all right. It's like $200 for like the low end models. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? What are the odds I go to Facebook Marketplace? So first off, bad thing to be looking at for Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah,
so
I type in, find anything on there.
Yeah, I find something. And here's red flag number two. I look it up. There's none in my hometown. That should have stopped my search right there. But listen, like Icarus, I flew too close to the sun. I was like, you know what? Let me fucking broaden that radius a little bit. Uh-huh. So I find one in Summerland.
No. Right?
$40. Right? Brand new inbox, still wrapped, $40. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, all right. So I messaged the guy. I'm like, yeah, it's been online for about a month. And I'm like, the ad just says brand new inbox. And I'm like, all right. So I messaged the guy. I'm like, hey, man, any bites? He's like, no, it's been sitting there for a while. I said, all right. Well, like, would you ship it to me? And he goes, yeah, sure, man. That's fine. So I'm like, okay. So I'm like, how do you want to do this? Right. And he's like, you know, send the cash. I want you the cash and the shipping. And then I'll ship it. And I was like, no. I'll do half. You send, right? We're getting a little back
half
and
now,
forth.
Half
right?
later.
A little negotiation. And,
so we negotiate on a half now. And then so $20 deposit. He'll ship it. I'll pay the other $20 and then whatever shipping is. So it's whatever. Shipping's like $17, whatever. So I send it to him. He sends me the fucking confirmation thing. I'm like, excellent. Comes to my surprise. Whoa, this is a brand new inbox thermostat. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. I'm like a kid, dude, this is like Christmas morning for me. You know how many gifts I got? Nothing. So I unwrap this thing.
Hell yeah.
Right. And I'm like, all right, what better thing to do on a Sunday than go out to the studio and risk my life by fucking around with the 240 volt electrical shit. So I'm hooking it up. Right. And so the thermostat, you know, wired it fine.
Nice.
Didn't die. Still
good.
Here.
Good job.
Thing turns on. I'm like, digital screen. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm like, all right. I'm like, connect to Wi-Fi. Right. And I'm like, all right. Trying to type it in. It's like, unable to connect to Wi-Fi. And it's like, then it goes like, Zigbee, connect to Zigbee. I'm like, hey, let's try whatever the fuck Zigbee is. All right. Unable to connect to Zigbee. You got to download the app. So I'm like, all right. So I busted the instructions and Zigbee. It's like, yeah, you got to download the fucking Maestro Stealth Pro app. And I'm like, okay, go to the app store. There's nothing there. And I'm like, interesting. So I'm like, all right, where the fuck do you get the step? So I'm looking, you go to Stealth Pro. Stealth Pro has nothing about this fucking Maestro app. Nothing. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, where the fuck is this? So, dude, hours of research trying to figure out how to fucking get this thing installed. I finally have to find the serial number, enter it. It's a discontinued model. They discontinued it and the app was so bad, they just fucking dropped the app in like early 2024. I bought a brick.
You can't. $40 brick.
A $40 brick. Yeah. And because it's all smart, you can't even manually change the temperature. And I fucking threw out my old one. I threw it out.
You threw it out? Why? How?
It was an excellent knob one, just on off to the temperature.
Why did you throw it
now
out?
Now I got this fucking goddamn digital screen.
Before it was even
hooked
up. That's
stuck. It'll only heat this thing up to 15 fucking degrees, and you need the goddamn app to change the goddamn temperature. Dude, I'm so fucking mad. So I messaged
this
a guy.
Is the best.
And I'm like, yo, what the fuck? I was like, you never told me this thing is discontinued. And he goes, well, it's new in box. And I went, it doesn't work. He says, well, it's still a quality thermostat. I was like, it doesn't work. You can't do any. You can't even turn it on. All it does was turn on and it'll set to the auto temp. And then it just starts telling you to connect to the app. Which does not something. Exist. Oh, dude,
buddy.
Every single time I'm in here and then it's only 17 degrees right now. And now I got to go to Home Depot and buy another shitty fucking dial one for $50. Oh, boy. Oh,
Dude, that's so good.
I would flame this guy on Facebook, but I deleted and blocked him so hard after calling him a bunch of slurs and bad names. That's so fucking mad. Hit him with a bunch of one stars.
What did you throw at him?
Just white guy slurs.
Oh, whitey slurs? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. You're allowed to do that.
I was like, you fucking cracker. you honky. So mad. I would, dude, just unbelievably mad. And so now I just get to sit in here and look at this goddamn digital screen that reads 17 and that's it. Yeah. And then it says connect to Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but it was brand new in box.
I'll give him that. I peeled the fucking that plastic film off this thing, of this brick that
brand
I can't,
new inbox.
You can't do, in what world, that's honest to God, that's in planned obsolescence, a fucking thermostat that once the app is gone.
There's no thermostat.
I read online that people are like, if you already had the Maestro app before they discontinued it, you can still get these things to work. So yeah. I'm telling you, if you have a fucking old iPhone with the Maestro app on it, I will pay you double to get my hands on that app.
How does that work?
Couldn't you find the app? Oh, well, you have an iPhone, but I like usually the Android, you get like the APKs, like you can get the app, like the old app or whatever. Like
you didn't search Reddit? Like Reddit probably had some fucking download or something.
I've tried everything.
All apps
people are like, you can trick it to like connect to your Samsung Home and shit. And I've tried fucking everything.
How many hours do you think you into this thing for?
All Sunday, from dusk till dawn.
Dude, so good.
All day.
That's a pretty good afternoon, actually. That's not bad.
I ignored my children. I ignored all chores. I didn't do laundry. That's for goddamn sure. And all I did was fucking learn the inner workings of the Zigbee app. And
that doesn't work.
Oh, my God. And the Maestro. Oh, dude.
Brand new inbox.
I'm so fucking mad. The guy's like, one of the last messages the guy hit me with, he goes, well, I'm not giving you a refund. It's quality. I'm sure you can get 40 for it. I'm like, it doesn't work. You can't change the temperature unless there's someone out there. But like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of my goddamn family changing the temperature. I want it set at 17 degrees. No changing. You're like, run it cold, baby.
Or somebody who already has one and just wants to replace it. I've already got the app.
Yeah. Oh my God. Replace it. Fucking so now that's gonna be my whole, and like I don't know if you guys are like me, I got a little OCD, so it's like the second something like this happens, my whole brain is like
it's completely taken over.
I gotta figure this out. I'm like there's gotta be a way, and I'm trying to be a better person in 2026, and I'm just gonna go, there's no way this works, and I'm not doing any more with it.
So you, why don't you just buy,
I feel better now.
Why don't you just buy one of those $20 knob thermostats again and start fresh?
That's what I'm going to do.
All right.
That's where we're going.
That's where you're off to.
Yeah. So now I'm going to be into this thing for fucking almost $100.
Brand new.
I deserve it. I deserve it.
You've been lowballed. You got no much free money you got on Marketplace. This is karma coming back around.
Honestly, the amount of time, like honestly, I wanted a giant bird to pick me up from my yard. That's what I wanted to happen. Were you gonna, like, end it.
You wanted to pray to one of the Thunderbirds? You should pray to one of the Thunderbirds to light up Summerland with some lightning and blast that guy.
Oh, yeah. There's some fucking forest fires coming your way, motherfucker.
Anyways, after that, that's one of the best brain rants I've heard in a while.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me a little happy.
Yeah, it's always good when it doesn't happen to you.
Yeah,
when
it's you. Gonna make brand new inbox and a new serenity now. Just like brand new inbox.
Oh, dude. It is what it is. It's beautiful though. It's beautiful. I wonder if I can. Mm-hmm. Can I show you?
Sure.
Yeah.
It is nice. It's quality.
See that up there?
Brand new inbox.
Brand new inbox.
Brand new inbox.
Guess what? The other thing I told you, didn't tell you. When it goes to sleep, it doesn't wake back up without the app.
The app.
Uh-huh. Nice.
Just turns off. That's fun.
I can see it's quirky.
You know what is it? Wobby sobby. What is Bobby Hill say? A little wobby sobby, right?
you got yourself some like 2012 retro right there.
Yeah. The only way to get it to actually work for steady is once it turns off is to flip the breaker switch to get it back on.
Factory reset. Nice.
Woo! Nice. That's 17, baby.
That's what Dan would tell you to do if you called him with tech difficulties.
Turn it off.
Oh, yeah. Doing that all day now.
Anyways. Thunderbirds. Yeah. This week, we're keeping it light. Fucking Andrew's dead, so we decided to talk some of his favorite things, the legendary Pokemon cards. Zapdos,
Articuno
and Moltres.
Yep. Thunderbirds.
The Thunderbirds.
Go. yeah, so the title of this episode will be Thunderbirds after brand new inbox. we're talking about the Thunderbirds. Thunderbirds are always a cryptid that always pop up, and it's you always see the at the top of the list, at least for North America. You're kind of being like, oh, Thunderbirds, large, unusual avian creatures flying around, picking people up, apparently.
Well, yeah, I mean, at some point you could even like, I mean, you could even, I would even maybe put Mothman into like legendary cryptid bird, because mm-hmm. like, as we've said before, we're like, any description you have of that and your first thought is moth is incorrect, is absolutely incorrect. Whoever coined that, they were like, they were going through names and they were like, nah, they're like, that, like owl man. No, it's the Mothman. Oh, that rolls yeah. nice. The double N. Mothman. Oh yeah. Mothman. That's great.
So, you know, Thunderbird, and just the legend, has very much legendary origins. It is very North American cryptid because it does come from a lot of North American, Native American lore. These are legendary giant birds that are said to inhabit, you know, parts of North America, usually described wingspan, making these things 15 to 30 plus feet. Plus feet, because we'll talk about a couple of reported signs are bigger than that. Big.
At 30 feet, can you, at 30 feet wingspan, is that what we're saying?
30 to plus. 50, yeah.
What's the bald eagles like spread? Like how big is 30? Like I'm trying to get a gauge like to like a big bird
feet,
now.
A big one yeah. maybe?
Yes, yeah, 6 feet. 6 feet. Okay, so, but, so it's like it's probably at 30 feet, maybe not picking up me.
No. Or 30 feet?
Oh, 30 feet. You're feet fucking wingspan? Getting yoinked, yeah, dude.
No, I don't think you're getting yoinked, but I think that thing would do the old yoinked. Like toss you down the 30? Cliff. You know what I mean? Where like scoops down, picks you up for a second, and then like launches you down feet, the
that's
hill.
That's the size 30, of a fucking plane, small
yeah, that's
plane.
That's like 2-story house. So yeah, like that's like, that's huge.
You're getting yoinked is, and blasted I don't
think
and eaten.
I don't think it's accounting. I don't think you guys, I think you guys are forgetting to account for how much of a big boy I am.
Dude, wouldn't matter. You got nothing.
They'd just be flying low to the ground, like while they're carrying you.
He might take a few extra flaps to get away.
Might take two of them.
Dragging me down the highway.
Just bouncing.
That's great.
And as the name suggests, Thunderbird, they are usually associated with the storms, thunder, lightning, and just usually like power,
rain,
in general.
Ice, wind. Everything.
I could say wind and stuff. Like I never understood really the thunder and lightning. Like the wind, I'm like, okay, no. Powerful gusts, right?
Like the Northwestern indigenous people, like the, was it the Salish? I'm pretty sure that's like, their myth is that's thunder. Like flapping the wings of the Thunderbird. Just
well,
the
they're
name
wrong.
Of,
just, have you ever seen a bird? That's not how they work.
Just the huge supernatural power of these Thunderbirds would crack the sky and cause thunder and lightning.
Yeah, I don't think that's how the flapping wings works, but I appreciate it. Oh, maybe if it's right over your head.
Well, it's usually most of these, I think the theory goes is that the origin of the Thunderbird is usually that a lot of these, you would see large birds, usually, you know, probably of some size, of notable size, they would always ride out in front of storms. They would presage the coming of storms because
that
they
makes
would
sense.
Be, there would be, because you have these large thermals that would precede the storm, and then the birds, you know, they would ride the thermals because, I mean, it's super low effort. They can just glide. Yeah. You know, they're just sitting on these thermals.
And if they're that big, that's probably what they'd want to do.
Probably, because bigger birds would probably want to do that. And they do, especially we'll talk about the California condor, those types of birds. But as you mentioned already, like the Native American traditions had these birds set as, you know, more spiritual entities. Like they're not exactly just like wholly physical beings. They usually control thunder and lightning. They're also considered in some of the Native American cultures to be kind of guardians against chaos. Also that like their specific mission, I think with the Ojibwe tribes, that
Guardians against Chaos?
Well, they would.
I just have a sneaking suspicion that if the boys were out in the field and we saw a fucking bird with a 30-foot wingspan, it would cause complete chaos.
That's true.
We'd be like, oh, get under the trees, head for cover. Like, it would be pandemonium instantly.
Specifically, at least with the Ojibwe, they're said to be kind of like the natural opposition to these, what do they call them? They call them underwater panthers, which I think is underwater panthers are like these scaled, they're like these scaled cats. They're some kind of, they're like mountain lions that have scales instead of fur and live underwater. And they're kind of the, I guess, the expression of kind of primordial chaos, which is pretty neat, pretty rad. And the Thunderbirds are kind of sit in natural opposition of those creatures. They have the,
wait, are we just talking about kaijus again? Because that's exactly what it sounds like. Just a little bit smaller kaijus.
Some from the deep, some from above.
I guess Rodan. Yeah, Rodan would be considered a Thunderbird. He does, but he hits sonic booms. He hits Mach 5.5, I think is what they said. And so he creates sonic booms. So I mean, he's a type of Thunderbird, I guess.
Oh,
he
my
also shoots
God.
Lasers out of his mouth.
So that's pretty dope. That's lightning.
Hold on. Thunder. Maybe that, when they say thunder, maybe these birds, like the peregrine falcon, they could get, maybe they could break the sound barrier when they're fucking dope.
Peregrine falcons.
No, I'm not. I'm saying the peregrine falcon is fast. I'm saying these things
in a dive
way faster,
like legit
somehow,
legit Mach speed.
And then they hit it, it's like boom.
Yeah,
right as they hit it, they get the fucking coming off them.
That's what you get.
Or they're fucking, they're spaceships. Maybe.
Well, I mean, if you're going, if you're going to go Mach, you can't get Mach from free fall.
Yeah.
Just would never happen. But if you had off? A fucking an engine.
Well, that if you, and if you think of like the, like say the shapes that we've seen, like the Phoenix Lights, right? Like something that's in that wing shape, or like a B-52 bomb. You know what I mean? Like some of these more advanced like crafts that we've seen and UFO shapes that we've seen. It's like if that thing's taken off and it's breaking the sound, like boom, and it's gone. And then it, like shortly after you like get hit with a fucking terrible event, you're like, it was, it came in, it rode away before the storm. It's like, maybe it was just checking how things were before this storm fucked you up.
But beyond the spiritual implications and these legendary creatures that are said to kind of be associated with the rains and storms and agricultural balance, you have actual sightings, people reported sightings of large, you know, unusually sized avian creatures. And they've kind of, if you go back through North American history, you'll see like actual, you know, alleged stories of people finding these ones. And probably one of the, you know, first off the list is the one that I came across. Was one called the Tombstone Thunderbird.
Oh, yeah.
Is what it's called. There was allegedly an article that was printed in a periodical titled the Tombstone Epitaph. And it was published April 26, 1890. And it has...
Dan, you got to read this description in your best, like, 1890s radio announcer or...
or they had, like, radio...
Winged monster resembling a huge alligator, like that, you know?
Well, that's like 1930s, 40s.
Okay, read it like
do you have 1890s? Then make up the 1890s. Yeah. I don't know. I don't read got any like reference. 1890
would be like a. That would be like.
Read it like an old prospector who's too old to be in the mines, and now he's taking on the news.
I was reading the news.
Let me see here. A winged monster resembling a huge alligator with an extremely elongated, tall, and immense pair of wings was found on the desert between Whetstone and Huachuca Mountains last Sunday by two ranchers that were returning home from Huachucas. The creature was evidently greatly exhausted by a long flight and when discovered was able to fly but on a short distance at a time. Like that one.
That's pretty, I mean, well done, first off.
Yeah, well done.
Quick turnaround, good voice acting. Resembling a huge alligator. What's the one that, Dan, you and I talked about where they fucking came out of the mine?
So yeah, I was going to mention that. That's going to be here. That's a.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. So that's like a weird connection that I found.
Yeah, because like as soon as you said that, I was like, what is that one? Van Meter.
Yeah,
Van Meter monster. This sounds very similar to that.
So yeah, so.
Those who didn't listen, Van Meter Monster is a fucking monster. Two monsters that came out flying out of a mine that fucking fucked up a town so bad that they actually, when the monsters went back in the mine, they fucking blew up the mine and they're like, no more mining.
That's enough.
No more mining. That's it.
So this occurred, like I said, 1890, and then there is some debate about like when the exact date when this was published. But yeah, the details from the story is like it's two men were on horseback, and they sighted this creature which was kind of on the ground, looking like it had, like I said, from its appearance, like it looked like it had been exhausted either from flying a long distance or something, but it kind of took off, managed to get back up into the air, and these two men pursued it on horseback for several miles, and then when they saw it, they decided to take aim and bring this thing down, as he would of any weird creature,
firing up the old Winchester whenever you got it.
Exactly. Yep.
Anything moving out in the desert, you're like, blast it.
This is well before any type of gun control. You can blast whatever you want.
Shoot whatever you want.
They learned the hard way. That's why there's no more buffalo.
There's no endangered species yet. So it's
that's not true, Dan. What we didn't know back then was all species were endangered at all times.
We just did.
Anytime anyone was around, we were fucking clearing the forests.
I think pretty much 1890. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look up like the buffalo timeline when it's like, you had entire seas of these things roaming the plains, and then there's like seven left.
Yeah, you went from millions of buffalo to like none. In a couple generations, just fucked them up.
So the two men kind of pursued this creature. They wounded it at first, and then the creature rounded on them to go and attack them. But the two men said they were kind of, from the report, they're able to kind of, distance themselves from it because it was exhausted. So it's probably flopping around on the ground trying to chase them, but they can easily on horseback, evade it. But they took some more shots on it. They put it down, and actually it collapsed. Looked like it died, apparently died, stopped breathing. And then so they were able to go in and then proceed to examine the corpse and then kind of get some measurements. So from the article, they said that these men found they were able to get one of the wings out. And so they found it measured like 92 feet in length.
Holy
which fuck. Is huge.
The wingspan?
Yeah, it's like 92 feet total, like wingspan, I think.
No. The beast itself was 92 feet.
Which is still weird. That's still crazy.
Because the wingspan was 160 feet.
Right. Okay.
Tip.
Yeah. So
he's fucking humongous.
So it's like from nose to tail, it's like 92 feet, which is wild. And then, then they have like, I think they got one wing out and it was like 70, like said, it was like 70 some feet and change. And then it's like estimated out to like 150 is the wingspan.
150 huge. Feet. That's like, we're approaching like blue whale territory. Like that's how fucking big this wingspan is.
This thing was like 50 inches around was like its greatest diameter at its widest point. It is like 50 inches around. Like
so that's not big. It's pretty skinny.
Yeah, it seems pretty
thin chest.
Yeah.
Giant wings.
Well, I guess so if anything that size to fly it would have to be like not that big because it just doesn't work. Well, it doesn't make sense.
When I was looking into some of these thunderbirds, I'm like, oh, what birds like lived in the Americas that were huge?
Yeah.
And then I found some, the Argentavis magnificens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it had a 20 to 23 foot wingspan, but only weighed like 150 pounds because they're just like giant condors, like giant gliders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was like,
it's like they're like big seagulls, I think like I saw
that
picture.
Build, right? Like that,
like albatross.
Like, like an ocean large bird. They just glide for days at a time.
Mm-hmm. I think
we're talking like eight times bigger.
They're quite huge. Even probably larger than the Quetzalcoatlus, which is the giant, the largest of like the pterodactyl species, which are huge. There's like giant giraffes with wings, essentially. So this thing that they said they like this thing resembled more of a reptile than a bird, because there's no real mention of like feathers.
Yeah, it doesn't even sound like a fucking.
They don't even have it. There's no mention of feathers. These things like had it like the head itself was about 8 feet long. And then the jaws, they said, had these like was thickly set with strong, sharp teeth. So not no beak. Like you would expect to find on a bird, but
yeah, it's like a dragon, like a one of them Chinese dragons.
Yeah, and it's just like the wings.
It's a China dragon.
What are them in China dragons?
One of them China dragons.
They got the wing flaps were just made of smooth skin, just this thick transparent membrane apparently, and they said they easily pierced by bullets. It's not they weren't feathered wings, and so yeah, now the interesting thing is, as Braden mentioned earlier, is that depending on which story you get it from, it's like either this story was like 1890 or somewhere around 1900, even 19 as late as like 1903 is kind of like the date range that they put this article in. And we mentioned 1903 is when you had the sighting of the infamous Van Meter visitor, or Van Meter monster, which was in the reported, terrorizing of this town of Van Meter, Iowa, by a scaled, some kind of reptilian pterodactyl looking creature. It also shot lasers out of his eyes.
Badass.
Sounds pretty freaking awesome. We did a whole confidential about it.
Check it out on Patreon. It's a fucking
and that
wild
one like
story.
Legit looked like some type of dinosaur, like pterodactyl.
Had like a fucking. It looked like a Pokemon.
Yeah, it did. It looked like a Pokemon, 100%.
But yeah, they sit right in the same date range. Like the reporting. Yeah,
very similar. Very, very
so
close.
It's like, are these two the same creature of the same type of species? Perhaps. Is there a connection there? It easily draw a connection between those two. With these large things. So you have this reported of this creature. Now, apparently there is photos, like there's photographic evidence. There's a whole long deal about this, but there's like apparently there was a photo that was published with the article, but nobody is able to find it. Like I guess like except for like
that checks out
the libraries of Alexandria.
Yeah, so it got burnt down in the.
They're like burn all the pictures of the big birds.
Yeah, when the Tombstone Epitaph offices burnt down, that photo went with it. Yeah. Like you never be able to find it. So if you're looking for that photo, apparently it's lost to time. Now you have these reports, and there are a couple other ones that kind of float around, but I think they all can be traced back to this original one, like the Tombstone Epitaph article, and you have a number of other ones of frontiersmen sighting these huge birds of unusual size, either flying over the terrain, or they seem somewhere, but whether they're tall tales or whether they're actual creatures, that's the thing. So it's like you do have this category of thunderbird cryptid, which it is like you have the scaled ones, Van Meter monster, this one, the Tombstone thunderbird, or you had the more contemporary
Lawndale, Illinois,
1977, Lawndale, Illinois. On a, it's like 9 p.m. summer night. I think this was July. You had three children playing outside when you had these two enormous birds, reportedly enormous birds, swoop down out of the air and try to pick up one of these children. Like they had a flap around. I guess two of them bolted as soon as they saw these things kind of like come out from behind the trees.
They blotted out the sun.
Yeah.
What is that shadow?
The third child who's identified as Marlon Lowe, and I think they actually had this guy, like, I was watching it, and I think they had him on this Monster Quest, or this is an episode of, I think, Monster Quest, or one of those In Search Of, I don't know, one of those, but I had him actually talking about the experience itself. But, like, one of these birds swooped down from, you know, above the tree line, came down, and clamped onto his shoulder, and then proceeded to lift him off the ground and carry him at least for like 30 yards, like just above the ground. Didn't get him all the way up into the air.
Getting scooped up by a bird, I don't know, like, what's worse than getting first, because it's so prolonged, you know what I mean? If the bird picks you up and like is flying away with you. Like at least with a bear, you know what I mean? You're like, all right, this is going to be pretty, like, it's going to mangle me for a little bit. I can play dead. But it's like a bird, you're just like in tremendous pain in the sky. Like just, at least it'd be cool for a little bit. You're just like, oh, we're pretty high up.
I guess I couldn't get him that far into the air. When it was carrying him, I think eventually it let him go. But, you know, witnesses have descriptions of these birds that tried to, you know, their eyewitnesses who saw these birds described them as these large black birds with a, like, an identifiable ring around, like a white ring, like at least a white coloring around their neck. And then they had a wingspan up to, they kind of estimated about 10 feet, which is not a Tombstone Thunderbird size by any means.
That's a big, but, I mean, like, the bigger eagles were like 6-7 feet wingspan, so just a little bigger than that. Just the biggest, maybe the biggest eagle ever. Yeah. We talked about it. Wasn't that on Missing 411 when the one kid like missing and they thought it was some type of like fucking eagle?
Well, or something. Like, is that that kid where they tried to retrace the steps
and then they found his stuff like up the mountain?
Oh no, that's the kid that died. Yeah, the one that went missing.
And they're like they turned their back for like 10 seconds and then the kid was gone.
And yeah, it would have to be, I think if I remember correctly, they said like for something to do that, it would have had to been like almost like record size eagle.
Like a huge fucking bird, yeah.
And you see these videos of like literally you have large, you know, like golden eagles or like any of these like mountain birds coming down. And I've seen them, they pick up sheep, like they pick up like goats and stuff.
Not for distance though. With those ones, they usually pick them up for a second and just fucking hurl just them down the mountain.
Destroy them. Like, yeah.
Just yeet them down the mountain. And then they go and clean up the fucking.
But I'm saying, like, how much, like, it's just kind of one of those things that you're like, okay, like, it doesn't happen all that much now. But when you had, like, tribes of people who were, you know, mountain herders.
Oh,
like,
yeah, for sure, dude. Plains.
Yeah.
Just like, how many times to a mountain edge actually, and the bird's and you're off the edge.
Bye bye. How many. It makes me wonder, because they're like, when you kind of look up at least if you go with the Lawndale, Illinois story, like you try to go and see like how many times have birds attacked people like this? And you're like, you don't think about that.
Like historical bird deaths, human deaths attributed to birds. It's not zero. I'll tell you that much. It's not zero.
And it's like, if it's happening.
What do you think is the most embarrassing bird death? You know what I mean? There's one bird death where you're like, motherfucker got eaten by his budgie. You know what I mean? Like in his sleep. Like there, you know, there's going to be one bird death.
The budgie got a lucky pluck on the old carotid and bled him out.
Right? Like, cause guys get fucked up by roosters. Like roosters every now and then will vicious. Get a guy.
People get fucked up by geese.
The fucking claws on a rooster are insane, dude.
Yeah, they're insane. Embarrassing bird to die to is what I'm saying.
So if you're going to like, I would say like, if you got killed by an eagle, like touche, like it got you. It's a fucking predator. It's got the claws. But if you're like killed by like a pheasant or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And I know exactly how this could happen because this almost happened to me when I was a kid. I was ripping around on a little three wheeler.
Yeah.
And my grandma used to fucking raise and slaughter pheasants. That's like what we ate when I was a kid. And I was ripping through the field. There's this big like pasture. It's a tiny town, Fauquier, BC. Nothing's there except for pheasants. And I was ripping and a pheasant like jumped out of the ditch and like flew across and hit me in the shoulder and I almost lost control of the bike, and that could have easily been dead.
Death bike.
So that could easily happen. You could be ripping on a motorcycle. It could come flying out of the ditch, smack you square in the chest, and you just fly off the back. You're dead.
You know what I just thought about? How many fucking ATV accidents are we wrongly accusing? Like
birds, dude.
It's the birds.
Birds are killing everyone.
It's always been the birds. And then they just fly away. Oh, yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Unsuspicious, right? But yeah, if you're killed by a pheasant, I would say that's it was your time to die, I guess, because.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, you see like freaking turkeys, roaming around the neighborhoods, terrorizing neighborhoods.
Yeah, they're
like,
big.
They're bigger than you think they are, and they're mean, like, you know.
And turkeys are terrifying to look at. Just they're not like they're fucking.
They're like an 80s Halloween character, but a bird.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're terrifying. Just fucking, just like walking around or whatever. I mean, if you're not used to hunting them, but if they're just walking around your neighborhood, especially if you're a kid, like, you know, and they're like, you know, almost as tall as you are. But yeah, some of these birds, like it does make me wonder that how many like mountain deaths are like,
falling.
You see that, like, yeah, like, you know, these birds like picked
the
up
only thing
and,
is
like, chucked them off a cliff or something.
The thing where I would have to be like, you know, to truly give it the death to the bird is like, was the person eaten after, you know what I mean? Right, like, cause you know what I mean? If there's just, the if you find deal. A corn, you can't be like, bird did it, just cold-blooded bird just fucking turf this guy down the hill.
So I'll continue with my pheasant one. Is the pheasants knock you off, and just like those little compies in Jurassic Park, those little green ones, slow bite you to death. It's just like a flock of fucking pheasants just peck you to death.
Like you're on the menu
just
now,
pick
bitch.
Your bones
then the quails come in.
Yeah, they lick the bones. They all work together.
I like it.
And it's trying to figure out exactly what these birds are. I mean, there are theories that float around about the thunderbirds, what exactly they are. Like at least back maybe in frontier times, like could it have been a remnant of a species that once existed? And that's usually the prime suspect, as Zell mentioned earlier, was the Argentavis magnificens. And if you Google thunderbird, that's the first thing that pops up. There's this pretty famous, picture, which is a photo of a life-size silhouette of the Argentavis magnificens, which is what was on display at the Los Angeles County Museum.
It's like a giant crow. There.
Well, that's just, giant it's a gull, silhouette.
Yeah, something.
Like, it's just a silhouette.
Well, like even the silhouette, I'm like, that's a crow.
But
or a raven, I guess, because ravens are huge, right? So probably
That's not like the coloration of it.
But when you look at the picture, yeah. I go, that looks like a raven. You know what
or
I mean?
I think I saw a picture like when they have the actual like the skull, like the fossil remains of the Argentavis, like and you look at the beak, it's like a hook. It has like a hooked beak, but not it doesn't look exactly like an eagle. I've seen an artist representation.
You guys got any bird friends yet? Have you guys in your adult life? Have you made any bird friends?
Not yet. No. Bird friends. Still waiting for my bird friend.
I got a bird friend now, a bird man, and I every now and then I'll take. He was like feeding, like, you know, as you do, as you buy a house and get older and you're like, I have to have simple hobbies that I can enjoy so I don't murder everyone around me. And his was, he just likes feeding the birds that come to his yard. And then he was like, you know what? I want to know what these birds are.
That's a
then
he serial started, killer one, dude. Mm-hmm.
So then he started to, then he started to look at the, he's like, now he knows all the birds. So I'd send him pictures of birds in my yard and I'd be like, yo, bird man, what's this one? He'd be like, oh, that's actually lovely for this time of year. That's a really rare one. That's it. Or like orange tip thrush. Like, dude, congratulations.
Just one day.
He's like, I would love to see that in my yard.
Dude, you're going to be on your back porch now. With a shirt that's one size too small, your gut hanging out, slippers, just feeding the birds. And
you
the
got
morning.
Your copy of North American Birds, like, you know, little handheld copy of your paper copy.
Sipping your coffee.
Jamie, come quick.
Come look.
It's a red-throated thrush. You won't believe it.
Oh, my God. Like, oh, my God.
That's amazing. I've been looking for years.
I never thought I'd lay my eyes on this bird. I never wanted to be so
honestly, that's that. So there's the bird people and then, like there's like the bird watchers like that.
Yeah.
That's the most insane one. Like I've been looking for years for this bird. I finally seen it.
You're like, guess what?
Good one.
I can Google that shit
I could actually put that in your virtually in your room right now if you want me to. I can just put that bird right on your shoulder. Stand still.
Yeah. AI it. Yeah.
You buy a nice pair of binoculars and you just take up your bird watching hobby, as I guess is what people do now.
Eventually, if you're a bird watcher, person. It's fine, but your chances of serial killing are elevated.
Yeah. Also, your chances of seeing an Argentavis magnificens are pretty zero because they lived 6 to 8 million years ago.
Okay, that's what I wanted to talk about actually. Because so people say like, okay, the Thunderbirds and stuff, like 6 to 8 million years, that's because we've found fossils.
Right.
But I've always think that's with fossils, like, it's like what, of all the T-Rex to ever live, there's like five fossils and they're not even complete or whatever. Like the number is so low for the, because there was like a billion T-Rex probably lived in their range.
Yeah, it's a weird, I've seen that weird number pop up now.
But whatever it is, like, so say these birds live, we found one that are like, oh, it's between 6 and 8 million years. But their bones are probably even harder to fossilize. Like they had their bones are so like
the
light.
Bones,
they
just like, the hollow?
They just like fucking break apart. Like they're gone instantly.
Probably. And not to mention like they would have to probably fucking crash land into the mud flood.
Yeah. You need to get the perfect
mud flood.
You need the perfect environment for the fossil to like mineralize the bone and preserve in the mud with no oxygen. It's a whole thing. So what if these birds were just around for
longer than we thought.
Like, you know, like ice age kind of times, like that's still like, that's still modern humans.
I can see this being, I could still see like, you know, modern humans having this primordial fear of these giant birds like swooping down.
Giant birds that would just pluck you off the plains when you're trying to kill a buffalo.
The terror birds, like there's like the terror birds, which are basically fucking dinosaurs, like the old, like those two-legged, basically like giant cassowaries with huge beaks that
Those were legit, right? Those were ice age times.
Those were predators. And it's like, then you would also have these ones from the air coming down to like, you know.
And everyone knows that dinosaurs just devolved into birds, right? So it's the same thing. That fear has been around forever. So even our reptilian overlords, when they came to, when they survived the dinosaur apocalypse, because they remember too, is it's deep ingrained in our DNA.
It's to be afraid of giant birds.
Giant birds both flying and walking on two legs.
Well, and snakes.
Snakes too, yeah.
Terror birds are now whatever those little ones are that dive bomb you whenever you get a little too close.
Magpies.
Magpies, yeah. Those are now the terror birds.
Well, the magpies, when I was in Australia, it was like magpie attack season. And it was like they had signs, and if there was a magpie nest, like you had to like walk with like a helmet on because they would dive bomb the back of your head. It was a whole fucking thing. I had no idea. And I guess even when like kids, when there's like little kids in their backyard and it's like magpie mating season or egg laying season, they have to wear like helmets with a face on the back of their head so they don't get dive bombed. Like it was like a whole thing. It's like Indian dudes in the jungle, they have to wear like a backwards mask so they don't get attacked by a tiger.
Yeah. Oh, that checks.
I'd take a magpie, but
yeah,
same. same, but different.
Yeah, 100%.
No wonder all the Indian dudes want to move to Canada. They're sick of the fucking tigers, man.
They're like, all I got to do is wear a mask for magpies.
No problem.
And then as far as for some of these, like we do have the fossil evidence of Argentavis magnificens, it did exist. But as far as photographic evidence goes for Thunderbirds, there's not a lot. But if you do, usually when you do Google these things, a lot of these photos do pop up. There are some pretty good ones. You have the one of, it's like, there's one photo of like these frontiersmen, you'll always see it. And they're holding what looks like to be some species of, easily recognized as like a pterodactyl.
100%.
They're standing. This is kind of like there's several photos in the same like kind of like motif. Like they'll have the frontiersman holding there like with their hands on the wings, like spreading out the body of what they reported to shot. And these always kind of pop up. The one that you see the most. This one was actually reported to have been the creation of a digital artist named Christopher Smith. And you'll see it. It's like, it's for how you see it's one, two,
Jurassic,
three, four, five,
Jurassic Park three when they're in the bird cage.
Yeah. Same one.
It's that one.
Yeah, it's about like seven or eight guys. There's like four guys sitting in front, one guy with his dog, and then there's like a guy, like five, six guys behind the creature, like holding up the wings and stuff like that. But it's like, yeah, he,
it's like a 12-foot wingspan. It's not like a, it's big bird, but it's not like those.
Yeah, like a, the I guess he posted about. This photo to his Flickr page like in 2010, and then it just ended up taking on a life of its own.
Well, that's a good, honestly, that's a good Photoshop job for back in the day.
It's good. Mm-hmm. It is good. It's convincing. Yeah.
He said, but
it's not hard though. Like 2000, I would say like 2004 to 2011. If you could, if you were any little bit, you could. I posted some pretty convincing pictures of me, Shaquille O'Neal, and Kobe Bryant hanging out.
No, this one's convincing because they're like, they're how they have like their hand on the wings and the guy's hands on his, on the beak and stuff. Mm-hmm. It looks good.
It is a good photo. They have the, but it's like they, I think he said that he used the wings are actually used fruit bat wings, because you can tell because they have more fingers than a pterodactyl would. I think their pterodactyl only has like two fingers or something like that. And then the this one in the picture has like elongated fingers through the membrane of the wings, which would, those are fruit bats, like large fruit bat wings, which fruit bats are huge too and scary. Like
they know, actually, yeah, they are
little goofy, ridiculous. Harmless. Like, but they're,
yeah, it was, they look like cute, fuck. No, they look like gargoyles, dude.
Yeah, some of them do. Yeah, some of those weird, some of the bats too.
They're weird, like flat face and those big veiny wings.
Yeah, but then you see me in fruit and you're like, oh, they're so cute. Like it's just like just munching on some fruit, a banana, what was that, or something.
In it was in Austin. We missed it though. We were there. We didn't go to the bridge, but there's, I guess, that bridge that releases.
Oh, the bat bridge?
The bat bridge.
Yeah. Well, we were too worried about getting fucking killed by the,
I mean, that's one of those different things, guys. Like, I seen the bats and I went, I seen them on YouTube.
Yeah. Honestly, who gives a fuck?
Good, cool bats, man.
Honestly, maybe that's your thing to go and just you watch get
shit
the bats
on, man. Like a million bats come out of this fucking bridge.
Yeah. Not for me. I'm not a big
bat guano.
I'm not a big watching bat guy.
Wait, what did they use bat guano for? What was the big
everything? Dynamite.
Well, dynamite, right? That was the original one, like the glycerin or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
They drived it. They got the fucking glycerin, nitroglycerin.
Like, yeah, there's like a, they would like take over like wherever you find like a bat cave. I think it was a big, back in the day when they were using that for, yeah, to manufacture explosives. Like there would be like conflicts over caves that had large bat populations because they needed it to construct their shit, explosives.
Dude.
Yeah, they need their shit if I can make bombs. there's another photo. There's a couple of these ones too, which, you know, apparently depict Civil War soldiers having downed, you know, some kind of avian creature. There's another one that is looks like another pterodactyl. This one,
anyway, put him in. This,
yeah,
I'll put him there in. There we go. There we go. There yeah. we go.
The second one. There, I thought this one had a weird story behind it because it was like you do have a couple of those photos that look like that one. Apparently, with like a, you know, members of either the Union or the Confederate armies standing with their, you know, reported kill or down of some kind of avian creature, but this one that looks like a pterodactyl. So apparently this one, when it got circulated, there was a cryptid investigator who was a big proponent of like there still being living pterosaurs existing up until at least like, you know, into modern history here. Jonathan David Whitcomb, he had, you know, wrote a whole book about it. And this is one of the photos that he judged to, at least initially, he judged it to be genuine. He was like, this is a photo of an actual pterosaur or some kind of 100%. Pterosaur like creature. And in 2017, he was like, this is a legit photo. Then in 2018, he kind of went back on it. And he said, oh, okay. He learned that, you know, on further, I guess, examination of this, like the left wing appeared in a computer animated BBC documentary, which is Walking with Dinosaurs.
Of course.
Like, which is a great documentary series. It's cool, Walking with Dinosaurs, but they're saying, yeah, it's like somebody identified that. So he kind of walked back on that one. And then you learn that this photo, that photo is one of two photos that were actually created for a 2000 to 2001 Fox television series known as Freaky Links. And
Freaky Links?
Yeah. I had never heard of that either.
It was a strange one because it was
a science fiction series about paranormal investigators, which is like right up our alley. And I'm like, I had never heard of this. And I'm like, this is 2000, 2001. I was like, I was still watching TV around that time. This is like, you know,
Freaky Links.
I looked it up and I was like, isn't 2000, 2001? That's like prime Buffy time. Like that's, Buffy, I was like, this yep. is a show that I would have watched. I would have watched this show at some point, but I can't.
Oh, dude. Yeah. The cast. Weird.
I cannot remember any. I looked it up and I was like, this was on Fox at some point. I'm like, I feel like I would have seen this in the lineup at some point, at least one. It had like two seasons, I think. And I had no clue about this. I had to go and look it up, but I'm like, yeah, it is shot very much in that Buffy-esque, that kind of setting, but it's like, you know, early, it looks kind of fun now where it's like early internet.
The reviews would argue that, Dan.
I didn't get that. Are there some one star reviews on there?
No, it's got like it's sitting at a pretty low rating.
Yeah.
Well, lots of stuff is that shouldn't be though, you know, you can't judge it by the ratings.
Yeah. I was like, maybe it was just before its time. Like, you know, people just didn't get it.
You judge it by the all-star cast
of.
Let me read the all-star cast of Freaky Links. You had Ethan Embry.
Heard of him.
Uh-huh. Lisa Sheridan.
Of course.
Uh-huh. Kareem Prince. Lizette uh-huh. Kerrion. And Dennis Christopher. All uh-huh. who go on to do...
Nothing.
Just tons of stuff. Ethan Embry actually, he's been in some stuff. What's his biggest movie?
I don't recognize any of these people.
Something. I know he's been in something. Is it Scream? Is that what he was in? Scream?
Sheridan. Isn't there a Sheridan? What's that? It's fucking director. Sheridan.
No, you're thinking Sheridan. You're thinking that, fucking that Cowboys.
Cowboy show. It's fucking Sheridan. Yeah, but is this like a sister, wife, Lisa Sheridan Paolini?
That'd be like mom, dude. It's too old.
Paolini? Oh, that's the fucking author of, I just finished that Aragon series again. I wonder if that's connected. Look at all these connections I'm making right now on Wikipedia. Oh my God.
Lisa Sheridan.
That's
Lisa
what happens Sheridan when you died, click apparently.
That's what happens when you...
Hyperlinks on random IMDb. Look at all these connections. Holy shit.
Oh, fuck, man. I'm good. None of them are true. I don't think it has anything to do with anything other Sheridan. Nothing.
Clicking links.
Just started smoking weed again. It's like I'm smoking weed in high school for the first time. I took like four months off.
It's all making sense to
now,
me.
Dude, I smoke a half a joint and I'm so fucking stoned again.
That's so funny.
Amazing. I just take 4 months off every year. It's like I've completely reset.
Oh, Lisa Sheridan was in Invasion 2005 to 2006, which was like I remember that one. That was like a kind of almost like Invasion of the Body Snatchers TV show. She was in the 4400 too, which is another alien.
Oh, okay.
She died. She's dead.
Yeah, she died in 2018. Yeah.
Well, she was young. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, 44. That's because of the complications from, that's alcoholism. And
she got too popular with those shows she was doing, led to Nowhere Good. RIP.
That's it. But yeah, it's like I had never heard of this show. And I was like, I watched like the intro to it. And it is like, 100% like 1999, 2000, like CRT monitors kind of trying to be the edgier teen focused X-Files kind of like thing. Like it's very, very looks like something. I feel like this is something I would have watched, but I did not watch it. Like I had no clue of this thing.
Good name.
Existed.
Good name.
Freaky Links.
I like that name, Freaky Links.
Yeah. I think it would work better now. They should reboot it.
That should have been the name of Cosmic Channels.
Freaky Links.
Freaky Links, huh?
Well, we can just restart. Well, let's change the name. We'll change names on our shows whenever we want. Cosmic like Channels Link. Is now Freaky Links.
It's now Freaky Links.
But the stories that you have to tell are a little different.
Yeah. I don't want to hear. Changed my mind.
I want to know an in-depth detail of your last erotic encounter.
Your erotic Thunderbird account. Like,
in gory detail. It'd probably be a hit podcast, actually.
Yeah, probably, actually.
Know how many fucking 42-year-old ladies would be listening to that show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get a hold of that one lady who is like, she did
young
erotic.
Moms.
Like,
listen to fucking
fiction or whatever, or erotic horror fiction or whatever. We had that one fan who called us the one time. She's like, I write.
Oh, like, yeah, but she was legit, though. She had legit books she had written. She was famous, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was like famous erotic author. We're like, what are you calling here for? You're waste.
Like, look at this.
You're in the wrong spot.
Yeah, but the Thunderbird is a staple of cryptid lore, I feel like, and it probably always will, as it is does share the name of the eponymous, the Thunderbird, introduced by Ford in 1955.
Thunderbird is just like Bigfoot in the sense that a lot of these different cultures over North America have like a similar story, like tradition of this mythical
giant bird,
like beast. And hey, could have just been their stories passed down from, you know, 10,000 years ago. We just haven't found a fossil that new. So like, oh, it was 6 million years, but maybe it was just 10,000 or 20,000 years. Because they keep pushing back, not just like people on like modern humans in general, just like people on all continents are like, oh, it was, you know, 12,000 years ago, there's people in North America. Oh, wait, there was maybe 20, 30. Like, how far does it go? You just keep finding a tooth. They're like, eh, just push it a little farther.
Yeah, and like whether they existed or not, or like we said, it was some kind of other creature, like the Van Meter monster, that is, could have been something like that. But it's just like, yeah, it's easy. I think a lot of the like videos that I watched from about these, I mean, they always have them in the any of the Monster Quests or In Search Of kind of TV shows. They always have a scientist on there that most of the time these people who report, you know, what could be considered a Thunderbird are usually just misattributing or like misjudging the distance on like a bird. Like, oh, this bird was huge. Like, you don't understand how big it was. And it's like, well, I don't know, if you didn't have any like point of reference, then yeah, maybe it looked pretty big. And usually these things, but like,
that's where I live, baby.
But with these ones, I think you don't have to, at least with some of these birds, like I think like Argentavis magnificence and birds like this, and also like the larger birds. And if you've never seen a video of like the Andean or like the California condors, like look them up, because those things are fucking huge.
Yeah, they're big.
Gigantic. And but the thing is like what's interesting about them is like, so with these birds, especially, we mentioned them before, they have to ride thermals. Like they have to, like, that is what gets them up off the air. So their main habitats are like, they have to live in like the cliffs, like the Grand Canyon mountains. Yeah. So they can kind of just, they can just jump off. They can just hop off and just kind of glide on the thermals. Cause they're not getting off the ground is going to be a task.
So what you're saying is climate change killed the ancient birds.
But yeah. No. Wow. But yeah, I mean, any kind of change of these giant birds, it's just either their prey kind of probably took off whatever, what their main staple diet was, probably some larger animals or stuff like that. Cause I think some of these are like, isn't like the condor, like they're more like carrion eaters. They're like vultures. So just like, you look like huge fucking vultures. Turkey vultures condor. Get pretty big too. Like they look pretty big. But like, yeah, if you look up some of these birds, like they're just gigantic, like especially the condor. Like you see them, like I think I've seen a video of one or two, and they get them to just like spread their wings out, and you're just like, oh my God,
God,
so big.
3 meter wingspan. So we're talking like, what's that?
Almost 10 feet?
No, 3 meters has got to be over 10 feet, 3.2 meters, 11 feet.
I think they modern condors max out about like 10, 11 feet, I think. Like that's about...
That's crazy, though.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
That's a big fucking bird. I'll knock off a cliff if you're not looking.
Yeah. and it's just, again, these, like a Thunderbird will always kind of be in there. I think they are an interesting little piece of American folklore, at least. And I guess automotive history, since they are Thunderbird. I don't think they make the Thunderbird anymore. I don't think they will. I don't know.
I don't think Thunderbird
came back like what 20 years ago with that weird model,
weird like throwback kind of.
It was like a weird like 50s kind of looking thing, but not. Yeah. It was like a 90s 50s.
It was not a great design choice. I don't think it's ever. I think it'll ever come back because it was like It was always marketed as kind of like a Ford's kind of. I guess it was like a more style and comfort than it was like a sports car. I mean, it wasn't. I don't know who would be. It's like their Cadillac kind of. I guess
it was. Yeah, like a luxury.
And it never really took off. I don't think. But yeah, I think try to keep. You know, they might try to bring it back at some point.
Hey, that's one thing I like. I really like about electric cars, because if they're going to be super clean to drive, let's say. Because right now all cars kind of look the same. If you buy a new car, they're slightly different, but they all perform like perfectly in the wind tunnel, and they're it's all about fuel economy. But if you have green energy and electric power, you can have whatever fucking
like some
vehicle
Homer
you want
Simpson
to.
Design. Yeah.
Like you can, no,
what
this,
was a car yeah, Homer
this is
Simpson
how you get
design?
The Cybertruck. There's only Cybertruck only works because it's just electric. Because if you put that in a gas car, you're like, well, you just get the worst fuel economy. But it's fine. With electric cars, you can build them however you want.
Well, they'll be able to 3D, because they always, they have some of those concepts for electric cars where it's like, you just have the platform, right? You just have the flat platform with like the seats and the chassis or whatever.
Just modular.
And it's like, you just like snap on whatever parts, and it's like, you know, eventually you're just going to be able to 3D print
whatever you
like
want.
A whole, whatever car you want, and just slap it on top of there and just be like, all right, you're good to go.
I like it.
That'll be interesting.
If I just had to see this, like, fuck you money, I would buy a Cybertruck just to be, feel like I'm in the Warthog from Halo. And I would cut a hole in the top.
That's probably what most people who bought it. Yeah,
I've seen one wrapped in like a dark green. I was like, that looks cool.
You can put a little extra money into it and make them look really cool.
That looks cool.
I really thought it was funny when people were first buying the Cybertruck, and they were like, people were getting them wrapped. Like they were getting like the wraps put on them. And then they didn't realize that like, because it's stainless steel, like those wraps are meant to be put on like already painted cars. And then they were taking the wraps off like later, I guess. And then the stuff was just like sticking to the,
it's like in the steel.
Yeah. It's like, I was like, oh God, like nobody thought about that.
Oversight.
It's pretty funny.
I've seen someone polish theirs to like a mirror. I was like, holy fuck.
Just blinding everyone on the road.
Yeah.
I've seen some that have like the matte, like stealth black, which is kind of cool. Like,
yeah, I've seen some cool.
I've never get
I've
one.
I've even seen
like,
one that was like, I think it's a suspension kit on it. Like beefed up, not just a lift kit, like the suspension, like bigger. Like, that looks, it's probably even worse. Probably to get like 100 kilometers to a charge.
Yeah.
It had bigger tires on it. It was it looked cool. It really looked like a Warthog from Halo.
And Spartan armor. This guy, Master Chief. Is the guy's name John Spartan?
Yeah.
Anyways, throwback. Final thoughts on Thunderbirds, Braden.
I definitely think that in ancient times there was probably fucking giant birds, and I definitely think they probably were around later in history than we think, because of how brittle the bones are and how rare it would be to get a perfect fossil. Like you alluded to the T-Rex, like these things were, you know, you'd have hollow bones, very brittle. Like it would have to be the perfect storm. Like maybe there's one out there somewhere, but I have a sneaking suspicion that these things were around a lot longer than we think. And our ancestors, probably not that far back, not that far removed, not too many hyperlinks away, as Zell would put, from like seeing and actually having to deal with these giant birds. But I don't think they would ever be big enough to actually scoop you up and take you away. I think they're probably limited on what they could do.
Just chuck you off a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan, basically. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're always, it's a mishmash of, you know, you have these stories that come out of like the frontiers and stuff like this, you know, which get mashed up with, which I always think is fun, the Native American lore and like frontier kind of superstition and these things that kind of produce these stories, whether they are exaggerations or whole fabrications. I think it is fascinating to think about, like, you know, it is fun to imagine, you know, 1890s, early 1900s, you know, Red Dead Redemption times, where there's giant birds like flying around that you can see and stuff like that. It's fun to think about, like it is, whether they were, my only thing is like, if they did they did see these creatures? Like, were they the reptilian type of creatures, like the Van Meter monster, or were they the, you know, a remnant of the Argentavis Magnificens? I'm not sure. Not sure. Yeah.
He's not sure. Mm-hmm. I'm also not sure, but I want it to be true because this fucking, it is pretty cool. Like, you go back, you have the cave bear, you got like the giant sloth, you got all these giant beasts, just like not that long ago, 10,000 years ago, giant birds. If everything was giant and everything was just evolving to be bigger and better, to eat that other thing that was also getting bigger and better, why not a bird? Now, did they live till just a couple, like 130 years ago? 5,000, 10,000? Probably not. I think stories get exaggerated sometimes. So it might have been some type of eagle, had a 10-foot wingspan. It was like the biggest eagle ever or whatever. But I think in our modern human brains, we have that old terror of monsters and these fucking flying birds. If you're camped too close to a cliff, or they just pick you up and toss you and then just eat you. They're carnivores.
Just be like, they're carrion eaters and they're just speeding up the process. Yeah, exactly.
It's just cool. It's cool that myth exists over all tons of cultures over North America and other places. Just like Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Yeti, El Nasty.
Hell yeah.
And just one day.
There's just a kernel of truth.
Maybe just digging like a Göbekli Tepe scenario. Like, you're digging your basement, trying to do a reno.
Yeah.
And you find like a Bigfoot. Perfectly preserved, well, Bigfoot too, but one of these. What's the bird? What's the giant bird?
Argentavis magnificens.
Just find like the skull. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, carbon dated to 4,000 years ago.
Oh, I'm telling you though, we know they're not around now because you'd see them at the dump. That's where all the big birds are at the dump. And if you haven't seen one of these at the dump, they don't exist.
That's good.
Not saying they did
exist. Good Canadian wisdom right there.
Ask your bird friend if he's ever seen it.
Anyways, this week we got actually a few beauties supporting the show. They went to patreon.com. They found Alien Fear of Theorizing.
I did.
They got freaky.
It does get freaky in there sometimes.
We got this week supporting the show. We got Justin Glambrorn. Glambrorn. I'm not saying that wrong. Carlitos. Joe Duggan. Trevor Nankervis. Nick Sherbert. Schubert, maybe. And that's it. Thank you very much for supporting the show. We appreciate it.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
For Thunderbird.